present.
Okay. Let's review the minutes. In fact, if there are no objections, why don't we just adopt the minutes from the August 5th meeting?
Move it.
Okay. Without objection, that'll be the order. That brings us to public comment. And I think the first card that I have is Mr. Clint Simmons for 3 minutes. And Mr. Arnold Sachs for 3 minutes. Please come forward. Mr. Simmons.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is Mike on?
Yes. My name is Clint Simmons. I'm representing Expo Community United. My first item is 6B pertaining to fence. According to the 6B that's on the agenda today, the fence will be 4 feet high from 23rd Street all the way out to Harcourt. And I can tell you now, and I'm sure you, Chairman, that the 4 feet is not sufficient to stop kids from jumping over there and getting on the track. An idiot can tell you something better than that. So 4 feet is just not enough at all in that regard. The next item is pertaining to jobs, which is 7B. Our people who have been monitoring the jobs ever since the conception of this track here, and we have found a considerable number of reduction of employees who work, who live in the area, in the zip codes that we have here. And so we want to know why that is taking place. We don't have as many people, specifically those who look like me, working on the rail. The next item that I want to discuss pertains to item 6-7. I'm going to say 6-F. This is Mark Ridley Thomas's IG for the Expo Authority, which we do need one here in order to monitor some of the things that take place. I'm not saying they're illegal, but I'm saying that they're not what you call on board. Or as an example, back in May, I asked you to have the CEO to give me a copy of the engineering change order that this board approved on January the 14th of 2010. You approved the engineering change order for bringing in dirt that will be needed for the MSC bridge at La Brea and La Cienega. And during that time, I did receive a copy of the ECO. At that particular time, this board approved the engineering change order for $550,000. But what I don't understand is how can you pay for something that you already have? And back in 2006, a lot of this dirt and stuff was ordered and stored in the 9200 block of Exposition Boulevard between Canfield and Durango. That's in the area just north of Venice Boulevard and just outside the city limits for Culver City. Now, we had the dirt there, and so what the ECO says that is to transport it in. In other words, I guess if you got stuff stored over there in the Phase 2 area, it is not considered Phase 1, and so you want to pay for it to bring it in. This is highly illegal, as I'm going to just say right now. So this is where all of the dirt came from, was in that area. I myself personally have been through there, and so all of the dirt was refined in that regard. So these are the things that I want you to check on, and we do need a IG for that. And I've been saying all along about this board approving engineering change orders, and believe me, you may look at me and say this guy is out of the wall here, but I think something will happen eventually by that. So, when you can move something.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons.
All right.
Mr. Sachs.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. I was going to ask a question, especially since the news article regarding the tap card fiasco with the security gating, which isn't very secure if they're open. But it mentioned in that article that some gates aren't compatible with the tap card because they can't, or some stations aren't compatible with the tap card. I'm certainly hoping all the stations that you have and either are design, build, will be. And, well, I should say will be, are compatible with the tap card, because you'll need it through those that area. Although, based on the way the parent board acts, I would be very highly suspect of that happening. Then, in another part, I'd like to ask, since you're discussing the city of Phase 2, City of Santa Monica Annual Work Plan, I'm wondering what happened with the Phase 1, City of Santa Monica Annual Work Plan. And, again, being basically monetarily short, why you're not considering the same plan you used to do the gold line, where you basically just change the color, you cut the line, you omitted a segment of the original blue line to create a three-step project out of a one-step project, and you cried to the poorhouse that you needed more money. So I'm just wondering, you have the same scenario, maybe not the same distance, but you have the city of LA, you have the city of Culver City, and you have the city of Santa Monica. You can create the gap in Culver City and go back and claim you need more money for the Santa Monica portion eastbound while you build the Los Angeles portion westbound. And then, who knows, 15 years from now, you could say, well, we're going to fill that Culver City connector. That would be like the downtown connector. We have the blue line from Long Beach to 7th and Metro, and the blue line from Union Station to Pasadena, and that gap. So since it worked once already, why not go back to the bank and work it again? Nobody else is asking any questions regarding it, and we have lots of transportation activists. As a matter of fact, I just came from Skag, and members of FAST, Fixing Angelinos Stuck in Traffic, were there talking about how they want to move on projects. Unfortunately, the members of FART, Fixing Angelinos Rusting in Traffic, weren't able to talk at the same meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no more cards from the public. That then brings us to item 5, which is the consent calendar. Without objection, we will consider the consent calendar adopted. Brings us to item 6, I believe.
Item 6A, fiscal year 2011, phase 1, work order with the City of Los Angeles.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Members of the board, this item we actually brought last month. We requested $500,000 for the city to continue work efforts on our behalf. We've got inspection services going on. We've got LADOT traffic signals and those sort of things. We obviously don't want to slow down the project. We are back again because we are still in the process of negotiating with the City of L.A. the final work authorization, and we didn't want to stop the work. And so what we are requesting really is that we that this board approve up to the maximum amount that was budgeted for this fiscal year, which would be $2.5 million. So $500,000 last month that you approved, plus $2 million this month, would give us to the $2.5 million. We're working hard with the city. They understand city staff, our needs, but we still, as far as the budget goes, but we still have to get that work done. And so we're requesting this authorization, and we will continue to negotiate, but we don't want to stop the city from reviewing our plans at this point. It's a very critical point in the project.
Questions or concerns? Seeing and hearing none, then on
go right ahead. Obviously, plenty of concerns. It's such an enormous amount, more than we anticipated. Are we reviewing the billing that's coming through from the City of Los Angeles to make sure that it makes sense to us?
Yes, we are. And I think we're actually in discussions along with Metro and trying to change things for phase two of the project. Now we've got about 6 months left, and we're trying to work with the city departments to make sure we have a sufficient amount of people, but not too many people out there reviewing our work. And so that's why these negotiations are taking longer than we had hoped for.
Mr. Chairman, let me ask, with your permission, give us a sense of how the negotiations, as you characterize them, are progressing. You may recall that this issue was raised at our last Expo board meeting. Concerns were raised, and I believe there were members at the time that expressed some concern, and if my memory serves me correctly, offered to be helpful solving the issue. Am I correct?
And that's correct, and we did engage the services of city council representatives at that time that offered to help, and we have held meetings that they were involved with. We continue those discussions. We've requested the mayor's staff help, and we are going to schedule a meeting with all of the head of the departments to express our concerns about over the budget issues. And again, that's why it's taking longer than we had hoped for, but we still need to keep this work going. But we will continue those efforts. Just to give you, for instance,
when's the next meeting, and who's present at these meetings?
The next meeting, we just had one
today, this morning, which was attended by representatives from Councilman Parks and Councilwoman Perry's office, with all of the staff-level departments to talk to them about our estimates versus their estimates. We basically laid out what we thought was needed based on the schedule. We shared that schedule with the third-party departments, with the city departments, and they're going back and evaluating that. We're going to get back together here in the next couple weeks to circle back to resume negotiations.
The representatives from the various city departments, how high up on the food chain are they?
Well, I plan to personally meet with every one of the head of the departments. I met with Gary Moore yesterday, which is the head of Bureau of Engineering. I plan to meet with John Reamer and Rita Robinson, basically all of the heads of the department.
Do you meet with them separately or together?
It varies.
Okay, this is what I would recommend. Well, if you would, you could work with my office. Let's try to get a meeting. If those are the three principal people, I would like to be present as well.
Oh.
Okay? At Mr. Ridley Thomas's suggestion, I will probably invite him and make sure that you stay longer than I do.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. My service on the city council expired in 2002.
Okay, then. Without objection, we'll adopt the staff recommendation or staff report on that. But, Rick, I would expect for somebody to be dialoguing with Andrew so that I could be present at the next meeting. And you know me, I like early.
Okay.
Early. Okay. Madam Secretary, since I have the wrong glasses and cannot really see, what's next?
Item 6B, contract package A2 and B2 safety fencing change order.
This item deals with fencing. The original baseline contract did not have fencing.
Is this what Mr. Simmons referred to?
Yes, it is. And a clarification, the four-foot fencing runs from Truesdale to Vermont. So it's four-foot fencing in front of USC. West of Vermont, it goes to six-foot fencing.
Thank you.
So this is the fencing portion. Metro and the PUC requested that this be added to the baseline. Metro board has since funded this as a safety enhancement. This is the first portion of it. It's what we call the A segment, as I indicated, in front of USC, and then the B segment that goes from Vermont to Hartcourt. And again, that will be a 4-foot fence along Exposition between USC and Expo Park, and then it transitions to a 6-foot fence west of that. Total cost of that work is $850,000, and again, that would come out of the safety enhancement budget adopted and approved by Metro.
Okay. I see no questions or concerns. We'll adopt the staff report on item 6B. We've just been joined by Director O'Connell. Next item.
Item 6C, contract package A2, Caltrans overhead signs contract amendment.
Yes, this is a item we've discussed in the past where we negotiated a lot of the work that was done to get the work started at 85% of design plans. Then from 85 to 100%, those elements that weren't finalized at that point, we come back with. This is one of those items. It's the Caltrans overhead signs along Flower that leads up to the 110 freeway. And because of our project, those signs had several of those signs had to be changed. They were out of date, so we had to not only relocate them because of our project and put new foundations, new poles, we also had to buy new signs and have to light them. The previous signs weren't lit, so we had to get DWP power to those signs. Bottom line is that work design package is now complete. We've negotiated with the contract at the contractor at a price of $495,000.
Okay, without objection, we'll adopt the staff report on that item. That brings us to
item 6D, contract package E1, automatic train control protection change order.
This one is similar to the safety. It's another one of the safety enhancement requests. Metro, as a result of the Chatsworth crash, went back and reviewed every location where two trains could potentially collide head-on. One of those locations was where the Expo and Blue Line come together at Washington and Flower Street. As a result of that, Metro asked that we install what we call automatic train protection. So in case an operator disobeys a red light or a signal, the train would automatically come to stop. And the cost of doing that is $5 million. This board has already approved $2.5 million to buy the train control
system. How does that work?
If,
is something actually within the engine of the train? Or
that's correct. It's a transponder.
And it can tell that you went through a...
Right.
And it on its own...
It will automatically bring the train to a stop. It's what they call a cab signaling system, and we have it throughout the alignment so that if an operator exceeds, for example, in street running, we can't run any faster than the cars on Exposition Boulevard, for example. It's posted 35 miles an hour, so the cab control on the train is set for 35 miles an hour. If the train operator exceeds 35 miles an hour, he will get a tone, a buzzing sound. If that happens for, I believe, more than 2 seconds or 10 seconds, the train will automatically go into a braking mode. And so this is very similar. We've set a zero cab speed, so if the train goes across the red light at the intersection of Washington and Expo, the sound will come off. If the operator doesn't go into immediate braking, the train will come to a stop.
Okay, now you said we'd already approved this. What, we approved half of it?
We approved, yeah, the long lead items that needed the train control while we designed the conduits and the other elements that need to be done to get the work in the ground, so to speak. And that's what this second phase of the work does. So if we don't
approve this, then we just wasted $2.5 million. We have to approve this.
Not necessarily. We could use that equipment on phase two if we have
to.
But it's important that we get the ATP in.
Mr. Leahy, pipe in on this. You're the expert.
Well, we have an intersection here where the trains will merge. Some coming, say, northbound or westbound on Washington or northbound on Flower. There's a building there. They can't see each other.
Okay.
And they're not going to be at high speed in those segments, but they're going fast enough. And you know what that does is permit the possibility of a collision between two trains, possibly with heavy loads. So this is an extra step to ensure that that doesn't happen.
Makes sense to me. Okay, without objection, we'll adopt a staff report on this item as well, and that brings us to.
6B, contract A2 and B2, station platform pavers, revision contract amendment.
This item, again, is one of those 85% to 100% design issues. We didn't have all the architectural design done when we first negotiated the contract for the stations. We wanted to get going with the stations, but we didn't have all the details on the platform pavers. As a result, the contractor looked at various ways to treat the backside of the platform. Ultimately, it was decided that the best way to treat it was to utilize pavers that actually extended over the backside of the platform. They also determined that that was the best way to finish off the ramp to the ramp. So what this would do would be to provide for the purchase of these special pavers and the installation at all the stations in segment A as well as segment B. So pretty much all of the at-grade stations this would provide for. The cost of that work is $600,000, and we recommend moving forward with it.
Okay, without objection, we'll adopt the staff report on 6E, right, Madam Secretary?
Yes.
6E, that brings us to...
Item 6F, motion by Supervisor Ridley Thomas, creation of an independent inspector general and ethics officer.
Okay, Mr. Director, as I had mentioned when I first saw you at the meeting, two members that aren't here made a request that this item be continued so that they could participate in the discussion. And I have no problem in granting that request, but I wanted to get your take on that.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the calling forth of the concerns of a couple of members. Let me offer the following insight, if I may. That which is before us now is simply instruction to staff, should the board be so inclined. It is not to in any way make a decision. It is to basically have the staff come back to the board with its considered evaluation of the issues raised in the motion. If we were making a decision as to how we would proceed in terms of a final determination with regard to an inspector general or an ethics officer as such, I think it would be a different matter, but in view of the fact that I think this is basically to get us better informed as to what our realities are and what options that might be made available to us, it would seem to me we would be in a defensible position to proceed.
Okay, I understand that point, but I'm also kind of torn between affording those members the opportunity. If we do proceed with this, they would then be able to make suggestions at the beginning. And so that's why I thought that maybe the best way to do this would just be to continue the item.
Mr. Chairman, care. That's your decided point of view. I'm prepared to respect the wishes of the chair. I would just simply offer a couple of insights. Should we not decide to dispose of the matter today, at least the issues in place should be addressed for the purposes of clarification of any board members who are here. So if there are items, issues, or concerns they might wish to raise, and you think then that a vote is not necessary or appropriate in light of the request, I get that. But there are issues that I think are worthy of discussion.
So why don't we direct the staff to begin just looking into this, how it would work, and so when we do, we'll continue it, but when they come back, they'll have some meat on the bones. Is that acceptable?
That moves it in the direction that would be intended, Mr. Chair. May I simply say that the motion has been revised for the collective benefit of the board so that everyone knows what we are dealing with, and we're distributing it.
Hey, maybe I do. I have the wrong glasses, so maybe I just can't see it.
Yes, we take note of the fact that your spectacles are bespeckling you, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Couple of items that are worthy of note, if you will. There was some concern, feedback given about the issue of full-time inspector general. Well, that isn't the biggest issue to be concerned with at this point in time. So I've stricken that. And as it relates to the role of county council, it is in consultation with county council as opposed to what was originally there, which is essentially putting county council on par with the other entities. It would be in consultation only. Mr. Chair, I would think it appropriate to make note of the fact that there are a couple of questions that could inform staff's response with your permission, one of which would be what the current level of MTA inspector general status is. That would be one question, because obviously we have the relationship with the parent or umbrella organization. Second question would be, what was the staffing level at its peak? Again, the same question to the MTA with respect to the IG's office. Thirdly, the question of if there's a difference between what it is now and what it was at its peak, what contributing factors were there in terms of its expansion, retraction, its issues. I think this board ought to be, can be, should be informed by those three questions, and I would direct those to the individuals in involved in the motion who would do the work pursuant to your instruction. It's hard to imagine, for the purposes of our deliberations, Expo One being nearly $900 million. And the range of issues we had. Exhibit A was the agenda for today, Mr. Chairman. How many change orders and amendments have we approved today? It's the stuff of which an inspector general's office is made to track. And I suspect that's why, such is the case in Dallas and Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia, as well as New York, inspector generals in place. And given the magnitude of what we are about to embark on, namely 1.5 billion in phase two, and I should simply say that's what is projected right now. I'm aware of the fact that we've gotten up to nearly 900 million in counting in phase want, but that wasn't the original projection. It was a substantial amount less than that. So if the calculation can be applied, it may mean that phase two will be much further along in terms of numbers than 1.5 as is currently proposed. I just think it's a matter of being responsible. It's a matter of regarding the diversity of appointments on the board, and I mean by jurisdiction. Each of us have different sets of ethics issues by which we are bound with our respective assignments in public office. The Board of Supervisors is different from the City of Santa Monica, which is different from the City of Los Angeles, which is different from the City of Culver City. All of those boards are here represented. And in a conversation with Director Malzahn, there were a couple of observations that he made that I thought were useful as we move forward in our conversation that would, give this the fair viewing, vetting that I think it deserves given where we are at this particular point in time in the Expo Authority's evolution.
Director O'Connor, I think you...
Yes, thank you. Right. We're getting back more information. I think it would be important to find out what do other agencies of our size do. Again, this is a single focused entity dealing with construction of one line. What do other construction authorities do? I know that after the American Public Transportation Association helped Metro with the peer review in terms of its inspector general about maybe 2 years ago, looking to APTA for some guidance also about, what the norms are. I think we also need to get some information about what the costs are, because there certainly is a cost involved. We don't necessarily are going to start up some office and frankly, create a make-work situation. It's like, how does the Inspector General provide the oversight, but yet not be there doing nothing, for a dedicated agency, or yet saying, well, I need to, in effect, could become a dysfunctional situation, too, So there, we need some more information about that, and I think, looking to APTA, some other organizations getting comfortable about what's happening elsewhere would be helpful.
Scott. Director Malzahn.
One of the things that I'm interested in currently the ethics functions for the Expo Board are provided for by Metro, correct?
That's correct.
I'd like to understand, first of all, what the differences are in the rules that apply to Metro Board members and Expo Construction Authority members. I agree with Director O'Connor that I think that this agency, while the budget is very big, the number of individuals involved is relatively small. I would not be surprised if it would be possible to enhance the role of Metro's ethics officer within this agency to provide the sort of oversight that Supervisor Thomas is talking about. So perhaps there's a way to formalize the role of Metro's ethics officer in the context of Expo. I think that might address all of these concerns, the desire to make sure that it's not a position that's created without enough to do, and also the desire to ensure that the position has the authority to do what it needs to.
Okay, so what I would... Yeah, basically, we will direct, staff, you've heard some of the questions and concerns.
Information needed back.
Yeah, that you've heard the suggestions of other directors. We will continue this to the next hearing, and you should be prepared to respond to some of those questions and concerns at that time. I would also be hopeful that we might have a full complement of directors so that everyone could be engaged in the discussion. So with
Mr. Chairman, I just want to be clear.
Yes, Mr.
All this information should not in any way be you should not infer from that the board has approved any of this at this point. There tends to be sometimes an inference that because questions are asked that that's the direction the board wants to move in, and the board will not have acted on this. So I just, the board is made up of all of us, and two of us are not here today. And so all of this, all of these questions are very interesting questions. Some of them I have myself. I have no problem with that, but I just don't want an inference to be drawn that we're doing anything today in terms of the motion, but to continue it to the next, whatever the next hearing is that the chair has suggested.
Yes, Ms. O'Connor.
Yeah, and in fact, I wouldn't have been prepared to take action today, just let you all know myself, without having a bit more information. And this is our opportunity to start getting some information. And until I have that, I couldn't have made a decision.
I think that was the thrust of the chair's direction, as I understood it. The affirmative vote, and by that I do not mean a yes vote in this instance, is yet to occur, and I think it ought to be clear that this is a matter of concern to this board by virtue of the questions that have been raised, and I believe that each of the questions and concerns that have been articulated are wholly appropriate and consistent with the intent of the motion, which is to look at where we stand with respect to these important functions of an ethics officer and an inspector general. I would restate that a board of this size and sort, given its work, is huge. The other point to be made when we try to scope the issue of parties involved, I think the role of an inspector general is not limited to the specific individuals that we employ as an agency, but the entities with which the agency does business. And when you move to that level, there are many, many more parties involved, not just the engineers and the others involved in the work of contractors and the like, but developers and a whole range of others. These are issues that properly come under the purview of an inspector general.
Okay, thank you.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair.
That you've received your instructions. That brings us to item 7, correct?
Yes, item 7A, monthly project status update.
Thank you. Starting with phase one, start with our construction progress photos. This is the station canopy at La Cienega aerial station. So all the stations now are moving along very nicely along the alignment.
You had to show us a picture of a bucket. I'm just kidding. Couldn't have another angle. Yeah, the bucket looks great, Director Walt said. Go ahead.
This is the power system that powers the train, the overhead catenary system. So you're seeing the poles up along the alignment, along with the wire strung, so that's moving along nicely. This is work at the Venice Robertson aerial station. Again, that's really proceeding at a good pace. The contractor's got a lot of workers out there. It's moving along very nicely. It's formed. They're putting the steel in, as we see here. This is the beginning the foundation installation at the La Cienega parking structure. And this is actually pouring concrete now at the Venice Robertson aerial structure. Issues, the contractor's latest schedule is 55 weeks behind our substantial completion date of May 8th, 2010. They're looking now at substantial completion in May of 2011. This doesn't include work that's not in their contract, which would be the storage facility, the Venice Robertson station, and the Farmdale station itself, as well as the parking structure. There are numerous areas that are behind schedule that are also critical that we need to continue to monitor, which includes the ventilation system at the trench, the automatic train protection installation at the Blue Line tie-in, the completion of the Farmdale crossing, and approval and programming of traffic signals and controllers. The budget, to date, we've executed $475 million in construction packages, which is within the overall construction allowance of $502.8 million. Several of the segments have consumed all of the budgeted funds that were assigned to them, so any remaining work in those segments would require additional funding from the construction contingency or the project reserve if more work is required. And there's several outstanding packages that we still need to award. As I mentioned, the storage facility, remaining work in Culver City associated with the completion of the Venice-Robertson Bridge, any additional costs associated with design progression from 85 to 100, as well as any changes from unforeseen conditions out in the field. We also have other items that are at risk that we're continuing to monitor, which includes the third-party costs as well as our professional services costs. As reported last couple meetings, we are doing a full budget evaluation on phase one, looking at trends and forecasts to determine exactly where we think we may fall, both the worst and best case. We had initial value engineering. We're now in the process of finalizing our analysis of the value engineering and are looking to come back to the board with any recommendations there. And we're also looking to package as many of the remaining work packages as we can to take advantage of the competitive bidding climate to, again, reduce costs. Phase two, our two design build contractors continue to progress their work, wrapping up their initial submittal to us, which we'll see this month. They continue to coordinate with the various utility agencies and agencies along the alignment and continue to work with the city of Santa Monica on the design option at Colorado Avenue that they've asked us to look at. As far as the Stage B documents, these are the documents that we need once we make the final selection of the contractor. We're completing those and anticipate getting those to the design build teams in October to be used as part of their pricing for the project. As that we continue to outreach efforts along the alignment with the cities and key stakeholders. That concludes my presentation.
Okay, so thank you. So that brings us now to the local jobs program. If those individuals could step forward, or individuals. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You know, before you get started, why don't you answer Mr. Mr. Simmons made a comment where it relates to a shrinkage of neighborhood-type people working on the project. So if you could respond to that, I am curious. It's a good question.
I can, and I believe, as we've told the board throughout several sessions, you know, FFP workforces will decrease as we continue through the project. Would like to point out that as we have made those decreases, and we did do some in August, so he is correct in that the workforce has decreased. However, if you will look at the percentage, we have actually gone up on our percentage of local hires. So we've retained actually more local hires than we've let go on the general workforce population.
Okay.
So I agree with his statement that we have reduced the workforce, but our percentage is remaining high, which we have made a very, stringent point of doing.
Okay.
Okay. This month's numbers for FFP, as I indicated, we are at 47.1% local participation on FFP hours. And for subcontractors, 25.4% overall for the month, which brings us for the month a combined percentage of 35.7. Cumulative to date, that brings FFP participation to 33%. subcontractors at 23%, or an overall combined of 27.9%. And those numbers are starting to track pretty close with our projected finals on both groups. As far as number of workers, for the month, FFP only hired one new person, and I believe that was a replacement for someone who decided to leave us. But it was not local, so we had 0% participation. Our subcontractors hired 6 new people, 3 were local, for 50%, which brought us to an average of 42.8% based on actual men hired. Cumulative to-date numbers for FFP are 32.6%. For subcontractors is 15.7% for a combined total based on workers on site of 18.7%. Any further questions on local jobs before I move to DBE?
No, please move forward.
On our DBE participation in design services, we are currently at 25.13%, which is very close to our expected 25.24%. Professional services, we're currently at 27.08%, which is moving up toward our projection of 29.3%. On the construction side, we're currently at 17.9%, which our projection was 17.91%. Again, depending on what packages are actually given to us, that number could fluctuate up or down as we negotiate these. Any additional packages with the authority. Our overall combined percentage currently is at 19.8%, and we had actually had a projection of 19.7, so we're a little bit higher on the combined than what we thought. Any other questions?
I hear no questions or concerns. I thank you for your update.
You.
Now, I believe... I just want to verify this, and then we'll see if there are any CEO comments. But I believe that I was informed that we will not do closed session today. Okay.
We can defer that to the next meeting.
Yeah, we can defer that to the next meeting. And that brings us to CEO comments. That you want to defer those as well?
Yes, with just a reminder that we have a special board meeting on September 20th at 9 a.m., so it's Monday at 9 a.m. in the morning, and we'll take on some of the issues that we talked about today as well as the construction careers policy and program.
Okay. Any directors' comments? Seeing and hearing none. Is there any more business before this? What did I miss, Madam Secretary?
There's no more items.
Oh, so there is no more.
No,
so I didn't miss anything.
You didn't miss anything.
Even blind. With that said, this meeting is adjourned.
God, make sure I didn't wear these glasses. See, I got two things.
Change my face. Put the mic on. Sometimes the lips. Yeah. She only needs one.